Awesome. Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. So good to be with you today and to worship and to share in God's word with you. It's such a privilege and honor to be here. And so thank you so much for inviting us to share today. Like was said already, we're celebrating 25 years of ministry in Toronto. And this church helped us get started. This was the birthplace where Urban Promise got started. And so thank you so much as we celebrate 25 years of reaching children, starting at the age of 5, all the way to 25, raising them as leaders who restore the community. And today it's such a pleasure and honor for us to be a part of this ministry and see young leaders who we once knew were 5 years old now are elders at churches, starting to plant churches. They're becoming missionaries overseas. We've seen these young leaders do so many great things and even join our staff and be missionaries on staff. And so we're grateful for this church and for praying for us and supporting us financially. So thank you. I have many memories in this building, actually. It's been probably about 10, 15 years since I've actually stepped in this building, but we used to do junior high youth programs in this building and do all-nighters running up and down the building and do some crazy stuff in this building. So I have lots of memories going over to the McDonald's that was across the road there. And at that time, they had a play place. And as us young leaders, we would play with the kids in the play place and get stuck in that, you know, that tunnel thing. So you just imagine us adults in these tunnels getting stuck up there with kids. Many memories in this building and in this community serving children and youth. And so thank you for being part of our history. And so today we're going to be looking at the word from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 to 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 to 17. And I'll just read this text for you this morning. This is the word of the Lord. Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are aroma that brings death, to the other, aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, it in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, for all that was taking place today during the service, this worship. Thank you for that we could gather together today in peace. And there's so much wars going around in our world, but we could gather today to worship your holy name and to get into your word this morning. And so, Father, I ask, help me to proclaim your word. Hide me. Let self decrease and you increase, Lord. We pray that your word will be just something that we hear today and then leave, but we'll be hearers of your word and also doers of your word as well. So, Lord, move mightily through our hearts and even through my heart and the lives of your people in this church today. Help us to be an outpour of your love and grace and mercy in our communities and our neighborhoods, everyone we have in contact with. Lord, move mightily. We cannot do this in our own strength. We need you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. On October 17th, 2018, cannabis was made legal in Ontario. And I remember of my apartment building that morning when I woke up. And I was taking my kids to school that morning, and the whole apartment floor was smelling like smoke, like marijuana. And I was walking my kids to the elevator, like, "Dad, what's that smell? Like, it smells so bad." They couldn't stand the smell, and they were covering their nose. Today, you know, we still have that problem. We were repelled by that smell. But for others, they were celebrating. On that day, downtown Toronto, people celebrated that cannabis was made legal in Ontario. There was a huge celebration. So for me and my family, we couldn't stand that smell. For others, they were spreading that smell, and they loved it, and they celebrated. There are some smells that we're attracted to, and there are some smells that we are repelled by. We can't stand the smell. For example, I love Popeye's chicken. I love fried chicken. And there's a Popeye's near my home, and every time we drive by that Popeye's chicken, my kids will say, "Hey, Daddy, can we go to Popeye's chicken?" And I'm like, I check my budget, and I want to go. I love Popeye's chicken. So if any of you guys are cooking fried chicken, please invite us over. I love me some fried chicken. Just love it. I'm drawn and attracted to fried chicken. There's some smells that we're drawn to, and there's some smells that we're repelled by. You may smell the bakery, a local store bakery, and you're smelling that nice, fresh bread, and you're drawn to it. In this passage that we're going to look at today, the Apostle Paul talks about the aroma of Christ. And as he's talking about referring to himself as the aroma of Christ, his ministry is as the aroma of Christ. And as the aroma of Christ, he says that some people will be drawn to Jesus and some people will be repelled by Jesus. For some, it brings life, and for some, the gospel brings death. And so the title of my message today is Smell Like Jesus. And I want to give you 3 points today. What Paul has to say about being the aroma of Christ, or smell like Jesus. And it's 3 P's, so you can remember. The first one is proclaim Christ. If you want to be the aroma of Christ, you need to proclaim Christ everywhere through our lifestyle and message of the gospel. The second point is through Christ, we are made pleasing to God. The third point is this is all accomplished through the power of Christ. And so my first point, proclaim Christ everywhere through your lifestyle and message of the gospel. You'll see in verse 12 to 14, Paul says, "Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went to Macedonia." Paul goes to Troas to preach the gospel, and there was an opportunity for him to preach there. People were waiting. There was an opportunity for him. But Paul was not at rest because he could not find Titus. He was expecting to see Titus in Troas, but Titus did not show up. See, Titus is this young man that Paul discipled and mentored and poured into his life. He was considered a son in the faith, as Paul calls him. And Paul would teach him and instruct him, and he would be sent out to the local churches to teach and instruct others. And so he was dear to Paul, and when he did not show up, when Titus didn't show up, Paul was worried. He was concerned for him. Even though there was an opportunity, even though there was a door for him to go and preach the gospel, he said goodbye and turned away. Just to give you some historical context of what's happening here, Paul had written 4 letters to the church in Corinth. There's a letter that he wrote before 1 Corinthians. There's 1 Corinthians and this harsh letter that he sends with Titus to the church in Corinth. And then there's 2 Corinthians. In this 3rd letter that Paul sends with Titus, he's calling the church to repent. Paul wanted the church to stop following these, what he calls, false teachers. He would call them these guys that were super apostles because they felt that they were better than Paul. These false teachers were challenging Paul's ministry, saying that he does not have real authority, saying that he's too weak, he's too poor, He's not an eloquent speaker. His ministry was not that successful. He suffered way too much to be an apostle, a true apostle. And they're trying to persuade the other believers, hey, follow us. And they're trying to persuade the other believers to follow a different standard of Christianity. Not a Christianity that Jesus was an example of, something else. And Paul was expecting to see Titus to find out, how did the people respond to this letter? This harsh letter that he sent to the church in Corinth. What did they say? And so when Titus didn't show up, Paul was concerned. And then he left Troas for Macedonia to find him. Paul had the opportunity to preach the gospel, but he faced these setbacks. Things weren't going as planned. But despite his setbacks, he says this. And despite his unrest, he begins to thank God. And he says, but thanks be to God, in verse 14, thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Even in the midst of Paul's disappointments, his setbacks, he begins to thank God. That's the first thing you see there. He begins to thank God. He states, because God leads us as captives in Christ. So what does it mean to be captive in Christ? We've been redeemed by Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, paying the penalty for our sins. He's redeemed us. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins in accordance to the riches of God's grace. When you're in Christ, there's no condemnation, it says in Romans 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation. When you're in Christ, you're no longer enemies of God. You're considered a friend of God. Romans 5, 10. When you're in Christ, you are a new creation. All the old is no longer. Now you're new in Christ. You're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Your mission conference is redeemed to proclaim, right? Redeemed to proclaim. And this text is a good example of that, how Christ has redeemed you. And now you're called to go and proclaim his good news of this redemption that you have. And so Paul is thankful. And he says, Christ leads us in this triumphal procession. So what does he mean by this triumphal procession? He's using this analogy of a Roman general. After he's won a battle in this war, he's fought this war and won the battle, the Roman general would parade the streets with his captives, those that he's defeated. And he would parade the streets. And as he parades the streets, they would celebrate. And as they celebrated their victory in this war, they would burn these incenses, these spices, and it would be like a sweet fragrance in the air as they celebrate their victory. And so Paul is saying, this is what it's like to be in Christ. We have this victory in Jesus. This redemption that we have is victory in Christ. So I gotta be thankful. Despite my setbacks, despite the things not going as planned, Christ, I'm in Christ, and he's leading us in this victory. He's kept us captives. And we have a victory in Jesus. So no matter where I go, no matter what's happening in my life, he's saying, I have this victory, and God can still use me to proclaim him in other places as well. I am captive in Christ. So just like a fragrance that spreads everywhere, so is the gospel as Paul is led by Christ to preach it. Despite the setbacks, no matter where he's preaching, God is using him to spread the gospel. In life and in ministry, we go through many setbacks. Amen? Lots of setbacks, lots of disappointments, lots of challenges. We all face it. We have challenges with our personal health, family life. We have all kinds of different challenges and setbacks in our lives. There's been a major setback that we've had 3 years ago, or in the last 3 years, right? In the last 3 years, we've had some major disappointments and setbacks. COVID, right? COVID has been a huge setback for all of us. Pastors and church leaders had to pivot and innovate monthly and weekly, changing all the time. And we're just now recovering from that. That was a setback to the church, to all of us, to businesses, to our own families, huge setbacks. At Urban Promise, we experienced that as well. We were just about to launch our third site, the site that Kelly leads in the Glamorgan community. We have three locations. We're one in Etobicoke, which is Kipling and Finch. We call it the Camp Victory site. We have another one in Warden Woods community, which is Warden and St. Clair. We call it the Camp Hope site. And then Kelly's site that she leads is the Glamorgan site. We call it Camp Truth, Kennedy and Ellesmere. And when the COVID started, we were just about to launch that site, our third site. Huge setbacks. We had no buildings, nothing. And Kelly was going to start a summer camp. So just imagine starting a summer camp and no building. So we had setbacks there. So what did Kelly have to do? You see in this next slide here. She had to lead camp in the local playground with kids, being present, sharing about Jesus, building relationships. Wherever she could be, she did that. Building relationships in the community, talking to kids, at park benches. Wherever it was, she was sharing the gospel to kids, building community. In the midst of being set back, she was still able to proclaim the good news of the gospel to that community in the midst of the setbacks she was facing. And just can imagine the setbacks there. So she's at a local park, and there's no washrooms. No washrooms in the park. So you can just use your imagination what they had to use. The local tree, you name it. High behind this hill over here, you name it, to find somewhere to use the washroom. Setbacks. But God could still use her. God could still use the leaders that she was training up and developing, even when there was no washrooms to find. Setbacks in our communities. If you go to the next slide, are in our Rexdale site, they also were facing setbacks. They had no building. And so what did they do? They began to lead worship and Bible studies in parents' backyards. So there was no place to go. They were in the parents' backyards. And they did shifts. Every hour, they went to another backyard. And you'll see in this picture, our street leaders are leading kids in a time of worship and getting into God's word. No place, that's okay. God could still use us to proclaim his good news of the gospel. And our other site in Camp Hope, there was no space. And so whatever our staff did, he led camp in his garage, sharing the gospel, doing all these different things with them in his garage. Setbacks, but God could still use you because we have the victory in Jesus. We have this good news to proclaim. We've been redeemed to proclaim his good news. See, Jesus always leads us in victory to proclaim the gospel everywhere, and he'll provide a way in the midst of our setbacks. The second point I want to share is that through Christ we are made pleasing to God. You'll see in verse 15, Paul says, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." So we are to God a pleasing aroma, which means a scent or a sweet smell that is acceptable to God. Here, Paul is using an example of the Old Testament. It's from the Old Testament. After God destroyed the earth with the flood, Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took animals, clean animals, and offered them as burnt offerings to the Lord. It says in Genesis 8:21, "And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said to his said in his heart, 'I'll never again curse the ground because of man, for the intentions of man's heart is evil from his youth.'" God saw Noah's offering as acceptable. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, it was a pleasing, acceptable sacrifice to God. The reason why you're pleasing to God is not because of your good works or how good you are or how beautiful you look today and wonderful you look today. No, we're pleasing to God because of what Jesus did on the cross for our sins. That's how we're pleasing to God. And then the good works we do, the good things we do in this life, God is pleased. God will be pleased by it. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as fragrant offerings and a sacrifice to God. That's why we're afraid. Well, that's why we're the aroma of Christ, a pleasing aroma of Christ, because of Jesus. Not because of ourselves, but because of Jesus. And then he goes on to verse 16. To the one, we're aroma that brings death. To the other, aroma that brings life. And who is equal to this task? See, the Roman general would lead his army. And when they began to burn this incense, and this aroma began to fill the air, and it was a sweet smell. And for some people, it was a sweet smell of life, because it's the victory. And for others, especially those that are captive by the Roman soldiers, it was death for them, because it was defeat. And so that's why it smelled like death to them. Even though it was a sweet smell to them, it was a smell of defeat. So it brought death. And we could smell like Jesus as we live out our Christian lives, our faith, before others. And as we share the gospel, we smell like Jesus. And people will either be drawn to us, like I'm drawn to, you know, fried chicken, Popeye's chicken, or people will be repelled by the gospel. They just can't stand it. They don't want anything to do with it. They don't want to be a part of it. Maybe because God is calling them to give up their lives and to live for them. I don't know. But people are repelled sometimes by the gospel. And some people, because of how you live and how this church lives and how this church carries out the Great Commission in the community, people are drawn into these doors. People are drawn into knowing you because of how you live your lives. People are attracted to Jesus. They want what you have. The joy that you have through the trials and setbacks that you experience, the peace that you have, people are drawn to that. To that hope that you have. And some people don't want anything to do with it. One author writes this about the subject of the aroma of Christ. He says this: one thing the gospel never does is nothing. People will either reject the gospel or be drawn to it. People are never neutral. You're either perishing or living towards eternal life. There's no middle ground. You're either drawn to Jesus or you're not. So no matter how well you share the gospel, someone will reject it. And somebody will turn to Jesus. You could expect that. A couple years ago, I was leading our Srila retreat and up in Barrie. And I was, you know, asked to speak for 3 days and share my testimony of what God has done in my life, and began to share what God has done in my life and how he saved me from growing up in the Malvern community, where I used to, you know, follow these friends that were involved in drugs and gangs and those kinds of different things. And then after the Lord saved me, I got involved with, like we have said before, I got involved with Urban Promise, wanting to give back to the kids that were just like me on the streets, and wanting to find out, how is the church going to reach the kids in the block? How are they going to hear about the gospel? And I remember sharing that night with our street leaders about how Jesus loves them. He died for their sins. He loves them just as they are. They don't need to be perfect. They don't need to change their life right now. He does that. And he loves them because he loves them. And he sent his son to die on the cross for their sins. And that's how he's demonstrated their love, his love. I didn't think I spoke that well. I didn't think it was that great of a message. And a year later, one of the youth that was a part of that retreat was in an interview. She was interviewing for a summer position at Urban Promise. And the interview, she talks about that weekend or that week that we had this retreat a year ago. And that retreat, she gave her life to the Lord, crying and accepting God to her life. She didn't realize how much God loved her and wanted a relationship with her. And she gave her life to the Lord. I didn't know that happened that night. I thought I bombed it. It didn't go well. But that night, she gave her life to the Lord. And she went to serve at Urban Promise. She went off to university to become a nurse. And then the following year, she went to Kenya to go and serve children, orphans in Kenya. She's drawn to Jesus. And it compels her to go and share God's good news. How she's been redeemed, how she's experienced God's love and mercy in her life compelled her to go out and share the good news somewhere else. And go help kids. Use her gift as a nurse in Kenya. See, we are not responsible for the results. We're just responsible for sharing the good news, smelling like Jesus to all those who are around us. Let God do the work. Let God do the make. It's God who makes the results. Whether it's at your church, your workplace, or your school, or your neighborhood, just smell like Jesus. And through serving and smelling like Jesus, we have the victory in him. And people will be drawn to him. It's not in our own strength. We can't do this. It's only through the power of Christ. And that's my third point. This is all done through the power of Christ. As aroma of Christ, Paul says in verse 17, "Who is sufficient for these things? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as though sent from God." Paul asks the question, who's enough? Who's equal to this task? Who could accomplish someone coming to Jesus? Who could do that? Who could spread the gospel and impact many people's lives? He's saying, hey, I can't do it. It's not in my own strength. Paul says, we're not like those peddlers of God's word, those so-called super apostles who preach to impress others, to gain wealth, to lead the church to thinking that following Jesus does not mean suffering. Following Jesus does not mean setbacks and disappointments. He's saying, we're not like those peddlers of God's word. We just go out with sincerity as one sent by God in the power of God. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, he says, our confidence comes from Christ. We are not sufficient in ourselves, but we cannot claim anything coming from us but from God. He's saying, hey, who's sufficient? Not me. Who could do these things? Not me. My confidence does not come from me. Our work in Toronto Community Housing, our confidence does not come from us. Our work as a church in this community and what's happening around here, our confidence is not in ourselves and how good we are, but it's how great God is and how God could use you mightily. Do you believe that, church, today? Amen. Amen. God could use you, and our confidence is not in ourselves. And it could be a struggle to share our faith, I know, to make disciples. And it could be a sacrifice, I know. And there could be hardships you may face, I know. But the reward in heaven is great. There's joys that you experience when somebody like this young girl comes to faith and God captures her and she goes off and shares the gospel in Kenya and to her friends and all over. There's joy when young people and adults and whoever comes to Christ because you just smelled like Jesus. God used you. Even though they called Paul weak and uneloquent and so on, his message to the church is that, hey, it's okay. My confidence is not in how good I am as a speaker. My confidence is none of these things. My confidence is in Christ, not me. I was asked to do, I was part of a panel for youth leaders in Toronto and be a mentor. And they did this thing called speed dating. And so you would sit, and a bunch of young leaders would be basically ask you questions. So five young leaders would stand and sit around me. These are youth pastors, would sit around me and ask me questions. And then they would go from one mentor to the next and go switch to different mentors and so on. And then when they would come to me, they would ask me, okay, what's one advice would you give me as a young leader in Toronto, trying to be a youth pastor? What's one thing that you want to give me? What's one encouragement you want to tell me? And I said to them this, you suck. I know, that sounds rough, right? But I said to them, but hear me out. You suck because it's not about you. If you make your ministry about you and how good you are and how fancy your programs are, it's not going to be accomplished by God's power. It's all going to be about you. You suck because in comparison to what God can do, if you put your trust in him and your confidence in him and not your own abilities and how good you are, how eloquent you are, God could do awesome things through you. Paul's saying, hey, I go out in sincerity and humility and I serve in Christ, not in my strength, but in Christ. So I know it was a shock to these young people to tell them, hey, you suck. But really, I was just telling him, hey, apart from Christ, you could do nothing. Your strength is not in yourself, it's in Christ. So be confident in him. Don't be so confident in yourself that you could do it all. You'll burn out that way. But if you're dependent on him and trust in him, he could do amazing things through you. If you're humble and if you serve in sincerity, he could do awesome work through you. So hopefully they weren't discouraged, because I know their mouths dropped when I said, you suck. But I was trying to give him a harsh point to say that, hey, just don't depend on yourself. Trust in the Lord. And in comparison to what you do, God could do amazing more if you just serve in him. Paul says that we are but jars of clay. We have this treasure which is in Christ in us to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. We're just jars of clay. Have you ever felt that you can't be used by God? Is there ever situations where you are in where you feel like, oh man, God can't use me anymore? God can still use you as jars of clay because there's a treasure that you have being ready to be poured out to others. Our city needs this church, needs you, brothers and sisters, to smell like Jesus and to be poured out to the community. I was reading some stats the other day. Food banks, the use of the daily food bread is up by 51% now over last year, 51%. So there's been an increase of people using the food banks just because of the growing inflation. Mortgage rates are increasing. So there's a need in our communities. Toronto Community Housing, I was reading a new stat that they put out that 56% of the residents that live in Toronto Community Housing are led by single-parent moms. And those who are living on rent geared to income, their annual income is $16,000 a year. That was shocking to me. Before, it was about a year or two ago, it was around $19,000. Now it's at $16,000 a year annually. How does one person survive off of that? There's a need in our city for the church to be dispensers, diffusers of the aroma of Christ, to smell like Jesus. So I'm closing with this. Three things on how we could be the aroma of Christ in our city. At home, in your neighborhoods, at school, or at work, wherever you go, three things. Despite your setbacks in life, Christ always leads you in victory. So proclaim his good news. It's in the text here. Engage in intentional conversations about the hope you have. And as you talk with people about the challenges you face, talk about the hope that you have in Jesus. Proclaim him. If you want to be the aroma of Christ, proclaim him. Second thing is being the aroma of Christ means that knowing that you are pleasing to God. God is pleased with you because of what his son has done on the cross for your sins. We stop smelling like Jesus when we stop doing anything for him. When you stop sharing the gospel. Let people reject the gospel and your loving message and your lifestyle because of your loving message, not because of your actions and the things that you do that don't represent Jesus. Let people reject the gospel because of this good news, they don't want it, versus a lifestyle that does not represent Jesus. And they're like, oh man, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want to be a part of it. Walk like Jesus. 1 Peter 2:12 states, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visit. So live such good lives amongst people. Let people accuse you for doing wrong. It's all right. They may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. We can attract people to Jesus through our simple acts of love. We just live differently. Be different amongst the people that you are around. How we are to be a church to spread the aroma of Christ, we can do that in our neighborhoods, workplace, anywhere you go. Just live differently. Just live differently. Last point is we are not sufficient. Remember that. We are not sufficient to bring people to Jesus. It's only through the power of Jesus. Serve others with humility and sincerity, knowing that whether we are successful or unsuccessful, the results do not rely on us. Wherever you go, God can use you. Pray and look for opportunities that are around you. And be thankful that you have the victory in Jesus. And serve him. You have this redemptive story and a love that you've experienced that you don't want to contain and hold to yourself. Tell someone about it and spread and smell like Jesus today, this week. In Jesus' name, amen.